Our second reading for this day comes from Jeremiah chapter 18. It's verses 1 through 11. Listen to these words from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is really one of the essential books of the Bible. I mean, all the books of the Bible are important, but Jeremiah is really one that sort of lays tracks throughout all other parts of Scripture. And this passage from chapter 18 is among the most famous and beloved things that he wrote. So beginning at verse 1, Jeremiah says this. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, come and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, and all seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as the potter has done?' says the Lord. 'Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation or kingdom concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring upon it. And at another moment, I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build it up and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. So turn now, all of you from your evil ways and amend your ways and doings." These words from Jeremiah 18 and those beautiful, haunting words from Psalm 139 are for us by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, the prayers that we pray, the songs that we sing, the ways that we share this day of worship, may it all be acceptable in your sight. For without you, we are nothing. Without you, we are but lumps of clay on the wheel. Hear these, our prayers, in the name of your Son. Amen. So you picked up, if you read the call to worship this morning and even sang our first songs and all the things that we've done today, that today is a lot about pottery. Up here on the communion table, we've got pottery. We have this stunning pottery back here against the back wall. What's that little girl holding? I mean, that's like a life-size child made out of pottery back there. And we do that because that's what Jeremiah gives us today, is this enduring biblical image. I only tried pottery once. I was an abject, miserable, complete failure. You need to know that I'm not very crafty. I'm not very artsy. The staff will tell you that. I don't even really doodle anything. My milieu as an artist was words and music as I was a child, and it remains so today. I still like to write poetry. I still like to read poetry. I like words. You might say I get paid to talk for a living. Like, that's not a coincidence, right? This is what I'm comfortable with. But pottery, drawing, painting, it's not my thing. My hands are mediocre. And so my pottery attempt, the one time that I'd made it, was just a lump of wet clay on the wheel. It was a failure. But take that same clay and put it in the hands of the right kind of person. What can happen is stunning. What can happen is beautiful. And it's a work of art when you see it done well. And here's the thing, it's an ancient work of art. It's been around for almost as long as we've been around. The only potter's house that I know of is actually in North Carolina. It's at the Montreat Conference Center. My colleague Eric Wall knows it very well. It sits along the shores of Lake Susan and along the banks of what's known as Flat Creek. And somehow, by the grace of God, it survived Hurricane Helene last fall. I don't really know how it did, but it did, because it's basically at the water level. Of course, the course of Flat Creek itself was moved several feet here and there, but somehow the pottery barn was spared. Each time I visit there, I am awed by the workmanship that I see, because experienced potters can really do amazing things. And trying to research, because I've been planning for this sermon for a couple weeks now, good or bad, I did put the work into it. I got on the internet and I discovered something. Do you know the show The Great British Bake Off, or The Great British Baking Show? Well, there's a pottery one. It's called The Great British Pottery Showdown. It's called The Great Pottery Throwdown, sorry. And the work they do there is absolutely stunning. And it's just all the same stuff. It's pottery clay. It's the pottery wheel, it's water, it's sponges, it's tools, it's fire, it's kiln, it's glaze. They make chess sets, they make tea sets, they make vases or vases, jars, flower pots. It's amazing. In the right hands, what starts off as a lump of clay can become something beautiful. The point is that with time and work and transformation and technique, transformation does happen. Just like the clay in our lives, Jeremiah wants us to know that transformation can happen. And I think it's Jeremiah who understands this better than anyone who's ever lived. Why is his enduring image of the workmanship of God this pottery wheel? Well, because in part, remember, pottery's been around forever. Ancient people knew all about pottery. In fact, they knew more about it than we do. For us, it's maybe a luxury, maybe it's a dinnerware set. Their lives depended upon it. There's no Ziploc bags. There's no Tupperware. So if you didn't want bugs in your flour, you had to put it in a jar. It had a lid. If you didn't want your water to evaporate in a desert culture, where'd you have to put it? In a jar with a lid. Same thing for everything they had. It all went in jars with lid. There's a reason why when you go to a museum, all the old stuff is jars. Some of them are real plain. Some of them are painted and glazed, but there's a reason. They had lots and lots of jars, bread jars, oil jars, right? Jars for all sorts of things. So in the ancient world, the potter was valuable, and everyone understood precisely what his or her job was, because they made not only beautiful things like we have in the sanctuary today, but they made the things which provided the life that you lived. They made the things that kept you alive. And that's why Jeremiah, in part, picks up on it in chapter 18, because the potter was an essential person in the community, just as God is the most essential element in our faith. You need to know that Jeremiah is not alone. Isaiah does this as well, not quite so famously, but Isaiah picks up on this image as God is the potter and we are the clay, turning us from lumps into useful things, to vessels which preserve and sustain life, turning us with sponges and tools and hands and water into the beautiful works of art that we are as children of God and men and women of faith and character. So you need to know that Jeremiah is famous because people have related to these images for 2,000 years and have reminded ourselves that God wants to shape us into the people of God, the kind of people who do justice, who love kindness, and who walk humbly before the Lord. Shape us into disciples who follow both the way of righteousness and Jesus. The word of God through Jeremiah calls us to account for who we are as disciples who follow not only the law of God, but also find wonder in Jesus the Christ, who is the Lord of heaven and earth. Here in chapter 18, Jeremiah makes it as plain as he can, pulling no punches by the time you get to verse 11. He says, "Just like the clay in the potter's hand, have I not tried to shape you, mold you, make you into people who honor me and who love one another?" Like I said, chapter 18 pulls no punches. After we get this beautiful image, it tells us that God will hold us to account for our failings. If we have not produced fruit, if we have not done right by the will and instruction of God, if we put a New Testament spin on it, then we have not done right by the example of Jesus Christ. Yeah, either way, Old Testament, New Testament, this image works. God the potter, we the clay. The question we have to face is, what are we willing to let God shape us into? What do you and me, what do we want to become? Do we want to be what God dreams that we can be? Or do we want to be something not quite that? Do we follow the way of God and let God shape us? Or do we follow the way of greed, luxury, success, power? All of which feel really good on this side of heaven. They do. Don't get me wrong. Like when I sleep in really nice sheets, I know the difference between the Target sheets that I normally sleep in. There is a difference. There's a difference. All that can make us feel good and important. But we also know the story of someone who flew high, 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 only to be brought crashing back down, or what your therapist would call hit the bottom. The point is that God, the potter, wants to shape us into healthy, fully formed people who love and serve the Lord and who love and serve our neighbors. What's the purpose of your life? The biblical answer is love and serve the Lord and love and serve your neighbor. That's a high bar. Yeah, of course it is. But we're dealing with God here. And why should we expect anything else on a high bar when we're dealing with God? Because anything short of the dreams of God is not really a form of success or achievement. And that's the truth that Jeremiah is sharing with us. Or at least it's the first one. Because there's a second one deep within the words we read today. But to understand the full breadth and depth of the love of God, you've got to touch on that Psalm 139, which is legitimately one of the most beautiful and important things ever written by human beings. It's one of the most beautiful texts in all the Bible. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. In other words, God knows us. And that is a promise. And I would tell you that it's a fact. Verse 13, verse 14, God reminds us that we have been known since before we were born. Known since before we were born. And all of us have been, what it says, fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nothing accidental about these lives that we have been given. I mean, take that phrase, wonderfully made, and imagine ourselves, all of us as clay in our potter's hand. If we lose our way, remember that we are clay in God's hand, which leads us back to Jeremiah at verse 8, where God says through Jeremiah, I can change my mind. I will change my mind. In other words, should we find ourselves at some form of bottom, God gives us second chances. We have the opportunity to be reshaped. We have the opportunity to be remade, the opportunity to start over, which is what the pottery image is all about. You know, you throw your lump of cake down on the wheel, and it sounds like that. And you bake it, and your little jar bends over. Guess what you can do? You can start over. Add some more water, reshape it. You can begin again. Anyone in here ever made pottery before? You can start over, can't you? Might be frustrating, but you get a second chance. So God can take us when we are struggling. Take that pot or the jar of clay, which we are struggling to become, and make it into something new. God gives second chances. And I would tell you that I think God gives even third and fourth and fifth ones too. See, the potter can start over, but the clay has to be on the wheel. The potter can start over, you see, but the clay has to be on the wheel. And Jeremiah wants us to be remade into the image that God has for our lives, just like Jesus wants us to be remade into people who seek first the kingdom of God. So, my friends, God is waiting. Jesus is calling. Will we allow ourselves to be placed upon the wheel? Remember, pottery is not easy. To move from the lump of clay into the beautiful tea set, the beautiful vase or vase, takes work. Remember, it rarely happens overnight. It's hard won. It's got lots of steps. It's time consuming. But you know what? You see, so is the life of faith. You have to want to be on the wheel of the life of faith if you want God to shape you. We all know those who have rejected the shaping and artistry of the hands of God. We do. The question is, will we get on the wheel? Because we are all of us lumps of clay. and the lump of clay goes onto the wheel with a throw, which is why potters say, I'm going to go into that room and throw a pot. They don't say make a pot, shape a pot. They say throw a pot, because they literally throw the clay down on the wheel. Well, we let God throw us onto the wheel so that God can shape, mold all of us into the best version of the people of God that we can be. Will we show up? I mean, that's the desire that God has for all of us, you and me and everybody in between. And you don't have to believe me when I say this, but you ought to believe Jeremiah. You ought to trust him because he's right. Right here in chapter 18, he's right. Very locally, right here at White Memorial, we, your staff, your leaders, everybody, from the members of the session to our deacons, we all work spring and summer for kickoff Sunday. Because today is a new chance for all of us to be shaped. Why not? Look, it's in your bulletin. Lots of stuff to do that will shape you. Join a community group. They're really fun. Come to Bible study. We have a great time at 7:30 on Tuesday mornings. And if that doesn't work for you, find a women's circle that meets at lunchtime. Or even better, I'm teaching a Bible study later in October. It's on Galatians, which is a fascinating book of the Bible. Right? Be part of youth fellowship. Take your kids to the children's choir, Sunday school class. Invite friends, family to join you. Listen to the podcast. Take what we call worship plus three, right? Very seriously, which means worship three times a month at a minimum, here or online. Let the words of God, the music of the people of God, like pour upon you, and it will shape you. Serve neighbors in need over the next 9 months than you did over the last 9 months. And we do these things, big and small, because they are the tools to transformation. They're like the sponge that shapes the pot. They're like the pieces of wood or pieces of metal that carve the pattern into the side of the jar. Yeah, they lead to transformation. And we do them because they are part of the way that we get ourselves on the wheel to be transformed by God. You've got to show up for God. We've got to let God take our lumps of clay, throw them on the wheel, and then be faithful that God is going to do what God always does. Yeah, we talk about worship plus three around here. Worship, like I said, give it a try three times a month. And if after a year it hasn't helped your life, if it hasn't reduced your blood pressure, if you don't feel closer to God, if nothing happens, let me know and I'll stop talking about it. I will, because it's good for us. Worship three times a month. Then an inhale. That's the second thing. Choose something that gives you breath and breathes into your soul. Something, a study, a circle, community group, something that feeds you where you don't have to do anything but show up and be present. And then find an exhale. That's something that you give, the talents that you uniquely have. Maybe you teach the Sunday school class like dozens of parents are in the building right behind us. Or maybe you say, I'll lead the community group this year. Or maybe you say, I'm going to build the Habitat House. Pack the backpack buddies for the hungry kids just down the street at Oberlin Middle School. You give of yourself, you give of your time. And then the last one is making a conscious choice to give to our church and other ministries of our community. Give to us so we can keep the lights on, so we can have Servant Saturday, so we can sponsor the community groups, so we can show up at hospice and pray the last prayer that a person's ever going to pray with them. Yeah. Help us to help our neighbors. And we do that by worshiping, inhaling, exhaling, and giving. And I think if you do those things, whether it's a big time commitment or a small one because you're busy, I think if you just dip your toe into that pool of grace, transformation can happen. Here's what I know today on Rally Sunday. In nearly 30 years of ministry, ordained and not ordained, I have never heard a person nearing the end of their day say something like, my regret is I was just present for God too much. My regret is that I just risked too much for my faith. I gave too much to other people. I regret all the times that I went to church, Christopher. No, I don't think so. It's all proof enough to me that giving time and resources shapes us. I mean, look at the pottery today. It didn't just happen. Somebody had the artistry to make that. There's a jar in here somewhere that's got holes in the top. How did they do that? You should come up and look at it. I've never seen anything like it. It's stunning. But do you know how it got here? Because we have a group of folks that are part of the worship committee at White Memorial who will take the themes of the Sunday and sometimes make it special, make it pretty, make the things that we see match the words that we say. In other words, it's a group of women, it's all women. If you're a man, we'd love to have you join. Right? This is a group of women who, that's their exhale. They started serving us 2 weeks ago. And I promise you, every time they get together and they put their heart and their soul into making something beautiful for us, they are being touched and transformed. That's how the Spirit works. You don't have to know your name, their names, because they are shaping us even now through the way that they have been shaped by God. Yeah, that's how it works. A second truth. You have to want to be molded if you're ever going to be molded. And God gives us the choice. I mean, the tragedy of free will is that you get to walk away from it if you want to. You never have to come back to White Memorial or go to church again as long as you live. You don't in this life have to pray one more prayer. You could be done. And yet, what a tragedy that would be. We'd all miss out. And maybe even worse, you would miss out. Jeremiah says, get on the wheel. Church, Israel, people of God, whatever you want to call it, get on the wheel where your clay can be transformed into beautiful things. Let's be beautiful. Amen? Because that's where we find God and we find ourselves. Indeed, may the God of hope go with us this day and always. May we leave from this place resolved once more to give our very best to God by showing up to be used by God. None of us have the same hands, the same eyes, the same feet, the same gifts, the same skills, and yet all of us together become the body of Christ, a body of believers who, while being transformed, actually can make a great, great difference in the world. So go forth in the hope that we will be used by God this day and always to love and serve one another as we grow in faith. In the name of God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the very potter who's shaping us even now. Amen.